Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Back in, you see him all over the SEC Network. Our man Peter Burns on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Burnsy, good morning, sir. How you doing today?
I'd be better if I had some Dreamland Barbecue right now. If you guys can shoot us some ribs over here to Charlotte, man, I'd be in hog heaven.
You know, man, this has been a great advertising campaign for our friends at Dreamland, because every time we introduce a guest, more times than not, they go, "Hey, can you send me some ribs?"
It's true. When it's that good, that's what you want, man.
Exactly.
I'm good with that. So.
Peter, the SEC, the draw, the opponents, the postseason, eight SEC teams in, is that representative in your mind of just how strong the Southeastern Conference was in basketball this year? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a record. This is a record-breaking performance for this conference. Never have they had more than six. And so I think it's a testament to what this conference a couple of years ago said: hey, you know what? We're behind. You know, we lead the way in football. We lead the way in basketball and or baseball and softball and golf and gymnastics and track and field. Where do we lack? We lack in basketball. So they bought Mike Trankhesian, they asked him, hey, how do you make this, as a special advisor to Commissioner Greg Sankey, how do you make this conference better? And it was twofold. One, he helped really kind of look at the scheduling. The scheduling was, you know, never really great for the SEC. And so what they did was said, hey, you're going to have to play the best. You're going to have this incredible strength of record and strength of schedule. And so he helped beef up their schedules, and which was the help. But none of it is there unless you hire the right people. And I think that's been the biggest difference, guys, in this conference, that you have the Avery Johnsons of the world, you have the Bruce Pearls of the world, you have the Rick Barnes, the Ben Howlands. You know, that's why this conference, top to bottom, is as good, really, as any conference right now in the sport of college basketball.
Yeah, and some teams that look to be playing well, particularly Kentucky. I like their draw. I like where they are bracketed. They seem to have been kind of coming into their own the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a team. I mean, this is probably the youngest. I mean, listen, Coach Cal almost always has a really young team, right? Simply because it's a lot of one and dones and a lot of guys that are just in and out for a season. But this was truly the youngest team that he's ever had, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, they were little babies, you know, like they were trying to figure it out. And I think for Cal, this year was different because he didn't know who was his guy. Normally there was a dude, right? And last year they had two. They had De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, but they didn't have the guy that was going to take over. And I think in a weird way, that actually helped Kentucky for the stretch run, because what happened is they had to depend on each other and be more of a team rather than, hey, we build our whole entire team around one guy that's incredible or two guys that are really good. So I think that they have figured it out at the right time, and I think that's why Kentucky just won their 31st SEC men's tournament and four straight one down out in St. Louis last week.
Peter Burns is with us, SEC Network studio anchor, ESPN, also Sirius XM host as well. You tweeted out this, and I'm glad you did. I follow you on Twitter, and I would have missed it, to be honest with you. The SEC Network came out with SEC Story. The latest one is called Merrifield.
Yeah.
And I've got to check that one out. You saw that one on Pistol Pete Maravich. Mm-hmm. What'd you think, Peter?
Incredible. You know, I grew up in Baton Rouge, and so the legend of Pistol Pete is bigger than life. And, you know, my mom and dad both went to LSU, and they were in classes with Pistol Pete. you know, they would tell me these stories, and you're kind of like, I don't even believe it. You know, I mean, we see Steph Curry and LeBron, and, you know, I grew up watching Jordan and these incredible players. And just to think of what he did, I mean, we look at college basketball right now, you know, and if Colin Sexton has 28, 32 points, we're like, wow, that's an amazing one game. You know, I mean, Pistol Pete averaged 44.2 points a game. Think about that, 44 points a game, and they didn't have a three-point line at the time. And like, I had Dale Brown on our show on Sirius XM earlier this week, and he goes, you know, they went back and they kind of looked at all of the film, and they thought, and what games that they found is that they thought that Pistol Pete, had there been a three-point line, he would have averaged about 52 points a game in the college game. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. And we'll never see a collegiate basketball player like that. Not even had LeBron played, I don't think. Never anybody as polarizing as Pistol Pete back in the day. And in the documentary, the SC Story, I think, did a pretty good job of kind of showing, you know, the highs of Pistol Pete and kind of the lows of what he dealt with as well.
Yeah, all of those series have been, excuse me, been very, very good. I look forward to seeing that one. I haven't yet to check it out. Peter, your thoughts about St. Louis hosting the SEC tournament?
I thought it was, you know, listen, it was well attended. Now, the weather was terrible, but I mean, you know, the heck, that can happen anytime. That's not the city's fault. But I think that it was a way for the SEC to kind of put a blueprint and kind of put the tournament somewhere else and trying it. Just because having it in the same place every year doesn't make it great. And listen, I love Nashville. I was just there for the women's tournament. Nashville's such an incredible city. You know, I had Brent Snedeker on our show, and he was like, I think every event should be in Nashville because it's just, you know, it's really well done. But I also think that it was a couple different things. One, Missouri just got into the conference a couple years ago. I think it was kind of a tip of the cap for them about expanding the reach of the SEC. And it gives an opportunity for fan bases that may be, you know, kind of in that neck of the woods, an easier flight for them to come try to check it out. Not that Nashville's not an easy flight, but I think what they always try to do is they'll try to change it up. I think it goes to Nashville back for two more years, and I think they're down to Tampa the year after. So I think it's a matter of a couple things. One, they want to expand the blueprint or footprint a little bit more of the SEC. And then second of all, I think, too, it's just to make sure the cities and the venues that already have these events, that they don't take it for granted, that they continue to improve their facilities, include to value that, you know, because once you lose something, you don't know what you have. And I think it's always important to keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I think it's good for the SEC to move around, expose their products to different areas of our conference. And that's kind of been my feeling about media days for years. I mean, you know, it's an hour away from where we are. It's pretty convenient for us compared to some of these people in Little Rock or College Station or Columbia, Missouri or whatnot. But I think an event like that, and with the SEC Network's involvement and broadcast of it, getting it around to other areas, I think, would be very beneficial. And I like the fact we're heading to Atlanta, and I've heard talks of possibly Nashville and Dallas in the future. Birmingham did a good job, but I think that event in particular, Peter, has really outgrown Birmingham.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if it's outgrown Birmingham as much as that it needed a shot in the arm. And, you know, and I think last year was probably, I mean, having covered several of them now as the anchor, I think last year was probably not the most depressing, but just like it didn't have a whole lot of juice to it, simply because you're right, it had been in Birmingham for many years. But also you had a bunch of coaches, guys, that were kind of going up against, you know, they were on the hot seat. You know, you had Kevin Sumlin, you had Butch Jones. You had a lot of coaches that just kind of were, you know, kind of fired coaches walking, you know, and you could tell that they weren't excited. I think this year would – Dan Mullen being out of Florida, Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, Jeremy Pruitt. There's this new sense of blood. There's new sense of excitement around media days. Now you combine that with a new venue in Atlanta, and I know we're really excited about it. You know, from a broadcasting standpoint, I think having it at the College Football Hall of Fame is going to be great because now the fans have something to do while checking out media days as well.
Now that makes sense. I certainly get into that. With your work, spring practices are going on or about to go on in the Southeastern Conference. You referenced the new blood in the league. What are some of the spring practice storylines that you guys are following?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the one that's huge is just not too far from where you guys are at. It's kind of to figure out what's going to go happen with the quarterback situation at Alabama. I mean, my goodness, the last time we saw Tua Tagovailoa, he's, you know, second in 26. He wins the national title as a true freshman coming off the bench. That's incredible. I mean, that's storybook. So I think we're kind of curious to see how that comes together between those, you know, how that plays out is going to be intriguing. I think another one down there is going to be for the Auburn Tigers too. You know, Auburn loses, you know, a fairly decent amount of guys, especially in the running back position with no Cam Pettway and Kerryon Johnson. You know, is Cam Martin going to be the guy that's going to be the next great Auburn running back? And then what is Jared Stidham going to do now that he knows this conference a little bit better? I listed the top seven quarterbacks that I would want to have on my team for college football in the SEC next year, and I actually had Stidham as number one on my list, just because I think that he's maybe the most can play like the most complete quarterback, and so I think those are probably the two big storylines that I'm working on coming into Auburn and at least Alabama spring practice.
Well, I know you guys will have it covered head to toe at the SEC Network, and man, we always appreciate your time, Peter. Always a lot of fun, very informative, and man, we got to do this again soon.
Hey, real quick, who do y'all guys, which SEC team do you guys have going the furthest in the tournament?
I really like Tennessee's draw. I like Tennessee and Florida for a couple of different reasons. Florida's obviously got to get more consistent, but I like the path as it lays out in the tournament for both of those, particularly Tennessee.
I got Tennessee and Florida making it to the Sweet 16, and that's as far as they go. I don't see, even though there's eight teams from the SEC in the tournament, I don't see anybody making the Elite Eight.
It'll be interesting. I think Tennessee, and obviously, I think Tennessee, you guys are right, is the most consistent team. I'm curious to see if Auburn and Florida can both get to pass this opening weekend. I think with the injuries from Macklemore at Auburn, I think that could struggle. And listen, I would be very careful about putting Florida deep into your bracket right now. I know you like them in Sweet 16, but I don't know. St. Bonaventure is going to create some problems for them, and I've seen them be inconsistent. So. And also, I want to see if Michael Porter Jr. is going to do well as well. We'll see. He'll have to be in that starting lineup. So, I can't wait for it, boys. We'll have to come on next week and talk about everything that went down.
Hey, why not? Sounds good to me, Peter. Thanks for your time, as always, my friend.
Later, boys.
Hi, buddy. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Peter Burns of the SEC Network.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.